August the 27th, 2017, in the Lucy Coleman studio. This is PJ, your internet pastor, if you want to still call me that. I'm very opinionated. I'm really right in your face, kind of a thing. But I figured that if I'm doing it in the love of God for you as a human being, that you could respect that opinion. See, the difficulty comes with us respecting the opinion of another person because we've deemed, first of all, that our opinion is the supreme one, and therefore that opinion ought to be followed. When that ain't necessarily so, I am the kind of personality that will tell you off the cuff what I feel, what I sense about you. If I'm wrong when I tell you that, I would expect you correct me, but in a gentlemanly forum kind of a way. Not like no back alley street thug that wants to hit me over the head, split my skull open, or shoot me in the side and watch me bleed out. This is what's happening in many of our inner cities amongst our young black men. One has asked me, why do I continue to do the things that I do in the lives of young black men? I just had a few of them. They just asked me. They said, hey, old man, when we go to Vegas, we would love for you to go with us. And I said, oh, no. Oh, no. You see, they don't understand. I don't need all the hoopla to be happy. See, hoopla is a word that starts with an H, and so is happiness. Well, I don't need either of it. What I need to be is satisfied. You hear them in the background. They're at the fire log. They meet at the fire log and they just sing together. And they get to, well, the sun is still out, and so it's early in the evening. A lot of people tell me, John, you ought to stop with that, that can be dangerous. There's nothing, the only thing dangerous about our meeting around the fire is that if people do not intend to love each other on a human level and to live and let live. This is what I try to teach in them. I teach those Christian principles, the ones that I took from the Bible, though I don't mention the Bible verse, or how I used the situation that I placed them in. And maybe that's why when I try to divulge my mind to men that don't know me or really know how deep my Christianity is within me. You see, my Christianity is not just some trivial little thing that happened one day and I decided to follow Jesus. No, it was never like that. I was compelled to do so beyond my life, my whole being. I don't know what being a bootleg preacher is all about. I've never been a fake. And I think that's why it's kind of difficult for people to really love me the way I need to be loved, because I can tell who's fake in a minute and I'll let you know it. And I make no mistake in what I say, because once a person is a fake, they will always be a fake. I am not full of fakery. I don't know how to fake. To fake is to lie to you. Listen, to fake is to lie to you. That's why if I would say to you that I don't love God, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh is his name, I would be faking. You see? And now, do I expect everyone to love Elohim, Yahweh, Jehovah the way that I do? No. But don't come to me talking about your loving God and God puts a bunch of beautiful young men in front of you from the inner city, some with their girlfriends, some single, and some just coming by and having a place where they can sing and be happy together. And I love it because you know what it does? For those of you that know the old man, it keeps me young and it keeps me excited about life. I'm not going to lie to you. A lot of people ask me, what's your motive with these young men? What do you think it is? How dare one think that my motive is anything but honesty, decency, and civility? I love it when people try to come against what they don't understand. That makes absolutely no sense at all. I was talking with a young man earlier today. He's Aquarian in his mind, just like me. And as he was spewing out his daily bread, a wonderful thought came across his mind, and I immediately jumped to it, gave him a hug, and said, "Thank you. You gave me the spark of energy that propels me to do the webcast that I've been holding off all day." And so you see, you have been blessed to experience that with me, just some of the young people leaving, because they don't come and stay long. They just come and play a game or sing a song on the little box out there, and then they leave and they go on and take care of their lives. It's wonderful to be young. And when people can do that and enjoy themselves and enjoy the way they're living, it's just a wonderful thing. And I provide that. I provide that place, that space, that open space. And what I've learned in it is that I have developed over the past 10 or 11 years that I've been doing this now, developed on a small scale now, some of the best of young men I can really say has gone out. Mario Canto is my prize boy here. Mario is marvelous. He's doing very, very well, working two jobs. Just, man, come by and help me clean out stuff around here free of charge. He told me, you know what he told me? He said, "Oh, man, you owe me nothing." He said, "I owe you everything." And it's wonderful. Hey, Harcourt. Harcourt just burst in the office door just the way the bro man would do. He just walked in. He knows I'm on the mic. And he has the same spirit that Broman had, but he's in a smaller dog. I'm in heaven, people. Let me tell you something. God is good to me. I want to share this with you that sometimes feel that God has given up on... No, love the small things. I recall when Broman was dying. And you guys remember, because I spoke with you about that. When Broman was dying, and it was difficult for me to talk about it. I mean, how do you talk about your dog when he's dying? That's T. Yeah, I'm still working with him. He's so aggressive in his mannerisms. This young man, he's so aggressive. But in his love, he is gentle, sweet, and kind. He is. But when he's out there just, that's the way he is. And sometimes I think the environment does it to them, because each of them, I find, of these millennials are different. They're different. They like different video games, different things that stimulate them. And that stimulates me, because I'm trying to seek the difference. What is it that makes them the way they are? I'm kind of cataloging my grandchildren, right? And then watching them grow up as adults. And so this cataloging is nice. Sometimes it sounds overheated. It sounds like it's getting all over on your plate and things like that. But it's the way you develop yourself to listen to someone that is attempting to communicate human language and in human form, but in a different way. And I think that's what offends us all. And this is why Christ came to teach us love for one another. Because if we love one another, you would discover that each of us have different ways. The straight men, the gay men, different ways about us, but we are all beloved of a loving God. And if you can't see that, and if you can't feel that, then there's something wrong with you. Now, there's where I get critical. I get all up in your face. And I say, because if you're going to play this, I'm better than you are game, That's why we're having the racial tension. We need to ease up, chill out, accept each other for what we are, and expect nothing but that. That's it. And when you walk around in that knowledge, just respecting each other for who they are, and that's all, then you've done it. You've done it. And if you listen very close to the stuff in the background, young people will be people. They will use certain language. They are communicating with each other. This language may not always be the bestly pronounced. It will be profane to some of us that came up in a very restrictive Christian thing where we shouldn't use language like that. But when a young man uses language like that to me, I learned from him. Because when he say, "What the," and then he puts that explanative on there, there's some anxiety there. What did I say? What did I promote? What did I try to push on him that he didn't want? That would be like me coming on to anybody. That's what I would expect them to say to me. What the? Right. So these are young men. And I'm just saying this for some in my audience, that when you listen to my earlier work, you would hear me say that you shouldn't use unseemly language. Right. If you're a Christian, of course not. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned living here in this hood and being around these young men. That's the only language some of them understand, people. And you trying to talk in this stuff that's not even real, they won't take you as real. And if you want to survive in this world with these young people, you had better know what's real to them and keep your unrealness to yourself if you want to have any kind of relationship with them at all. Now, if you don't want a relationship with them, you're going to find yourself always criticizing. Why are they always looking in their phones? They're looking in their phones because you're phony. Okay. They're looking in there because they're seeing something that they want to know about. You need to find out what it is they're looking at. And so maybe you can learn some of the language of what they want to know about. And you can give it from another perspective, from a maturer one, instead of an antagonistic way. Oh, I hate these young people. They make me sick. They get under my skin. Look at the way they dress. Pull their pants up. They don't talk right. And look at these haircuts. What's wrong with them? Yeah, ease up. Ease up, Grandma. Ease up, Grandpa. I've been there. I know. And then when they fell in all around me and started saying, "Let Pops do a rhythm and rhyme," because that's what I did the other night. They were back there, and I said, "You guys are just doing rhythm and rhyme, and I can do it with them." Any of you olders out there, you guys still know how to get cool? I don't know. Some of my friends told me that the older I get, that I should be more dignified around these young men and be the example for them. Okay. I hear that. The example for them. What makes me the prime example for anybody? That's the first thing that comes to my mind. See, you know, I was raised that the culture that I was raised under and the rules and the rigors that were put on me as a restrainer, that is the way that life ought to be for everyone in every generation. That is not right. That is not true. And I believe that a lot of times death takes place. Just listen to me for a second. That death takes place in some of us because we refuse to travel on in the culture that we're alive in. And we've chose to dislike or to hate or to embark on terrible feelings towards a lot of things in that culture, which on the other end might keep us alive longer to enjoy what the culture has to offer. Man, when a young man gets one of my lessons that I teach him, and he gets that lesson, that blesses my heart. All right? I don't care whether he's Hispanic, black, or whatever. When he gets my lesson, I had a young man that just went, hey, in the background. He came up to me and ran his fingers through my white, gray hair and said, I love you, old man. And I just told him I know it. Now, that is beautiful, and that's what I would hope that all elders can experience from the young men in their community. And why not? Why have we grown so distant from our younger men? Come on now. They've got to be around us to get this wisdom. I figure that's the only damn reason God is leaving me alive, to tell you the truth. And when I experience that, I'm saying, damn, that's what it's all about. Pass this on to them. Forget about your traditions that held you together. They have different traditions. And these traditions will be held together by themselves, because they are beyond dreamers. They make their lives happen. And when it ceases to happen, they accept their life as being over. That's another reality that I've learned about them. And sometimes they live like, we've got to live like this because we don't know when we're going to end up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. It's all around us. Everywhere around us. The world is changing. And if we're going to be an effective part to the world that we're in, we must change with it. I didn't say to take away the strong Christian ideas and beliefs that you have about God. Know what you believe. Hey, you know what Descartes said, to thine own self be true. You have to know that for yourself. It doesn't bother me if I tell somebody that I believe that Jesus walked on water, because I can explain how he did it. You understand what I'm saying? But now for the person that can't comprehend it, that's their problem. That's their bad, not mine. I'm not going to spend all night staying up trying to argue with them. See, I know on whom I believe. I know who the Savior is, the Savior of my soul. My soul. You know what that means? I turn myself over to this spiritual entity that gives me more and more and more love in just the right places. That's the time I never got together with anyone, including my wife, and made a wrong decision, because I was with her for 34 years. And every decision that I make to be around anybody is a good decision, because I'm not a fake and I don't lie. So the boys around me, they're safe. Don't worry. They're safe. I'm not a cult leader. This is what love looks like. When you really love, you don't give a damn who don't like it the way it is. And then look at the sarcastic, narcissistic view that you have of our culture and the people that live in this culture. And then ask yourself this question: how did I get here? I refuse to live that way. I guess you can call me a philosopher of a new kind. I'm beyond Christianity. I'm into love completely, boy. Love completely. And if your Uncle Remus won't love you, I'll love you, boy. Don't worry about that. If your mama won't love you, I'll love you. That's all right. See? Let's make peace. Well, they're not making peace. Hey, you see that flag flying out there, boy? You know what that means. Let's make peace. We can do that. But when you're selfish, self-centered, looking only for the outlook of yourself and what you are looking for in life, you will miss the blessings of love. And the blessings of love is that God enriches your life, make your like my body feels now. I feel like a 27-year-old man sitting at this microphone right now talking to you. I just had my one meal a day, all the nutrients and everything, good food. I'm eating well, taking care of my one meal a day. And I'm telling you, love people. That's why the webcast is so late coming up. Love people. Because if you try it any other way, it's not going to work. You're going to find yourself getting frustrated. And for those of you that have a Christian background, that's what Jesus said. Let the love of the Father be in you. You know what the love of Jah is? The love of Jehovah? I can meet a guy that's the head of a cult. We can both be Aquarian. Listen to Terry. oh my goodness. I'll have to close my office door because... Oh yeah, that's coming right from the... Oh yeah, they just walking all around. They just high-fiving, talking with each other. Well, anyhow, thank you to the young man that gave me the thought to do the webcast, because I was speaking with him and I said, wait, I have to stop and go do the webcast right now because the Spirit of God just spoke to me. And I hope you got something out of what I just said to you. I want to really join the fun down there. Seems like they're having a lot of fun. And just because I'm a senior citizen doesn't mean that I have to back off in a corner and look for the I Love Lucy show on television. I don't do that. I don't look at the TV films and start dozing off. Or I don't long for the good old days. For those of you that are really concerned about human beings, please pray for the people of Texas. That storm hit them today. Ooh, God help them. I mean, ooh, everything gone. Oh, my fellow citizens. White and black, did you see? And I feel their loss. I feel it. These millennials, they're not even thinking that deep about it. I do. That's because God put the love of everyone in me. And I hope that our president and everyone else is doing everything they can to help those dear people who have just literally lost everything through water. You see that? Now, we can argue about whether this is global warming or whatnot. Let me tell you this. Not in the history of my life have I ever seen anything like this weather. And I'm 73 years old. The only thing that I can say is that I believe in Jah in the heavens. And if he is angry at us, he will tear up everything here to get our attention focused back on him and off of our sorry behinds. Thank you for coming to my webcast. This is PJ in the Lucy Coleman Studio saying thank you. And thank you, Darius, for the thought.